Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Romans chapter 3. And I'm just going to read quite a chunk of scripture because I really believe that, you know, the word is so powerful. What is the conclusion of my argument? Verse 9. Am I suggesting that we Jews are better than others? No, that is to miss the point altogether. I have already stated clearly that all are under the power of sin, whether Jew or non-Jew. It is written, there is not even one person who is righteous, not one. No one understands God, nobody who truly seeks him. For all have turned away from him and have chosen to walk in their own corrupt ways, and so have become worthless in his sight. Nobody is good in all he or she does. Nobody. People speak so many things at odds with God's truth, and their throats are open graves. It is common practice to speak deceitfully. Their words are often filled with venomous poison. They curse God and are bitter in their attitudes towards him. Mankind is renowned for violence, destroying lives that God counts precious. No wonder the course of their lives continues so much misery that they have no hope and no peace. In short, they have no fear of God. They have no desire to honor him, although he is their Lord. This seems a desperate situation, and it is, for those who live under religious law. For when you look at the demands that God makes on of his people, everyone is silenced. Nobody in the world can claim to have obeyed his laws perfectly. For this reason, there is not one person that could be judged as right in God's eyes because of his or her perfect obedience to his will. All the religious law does is to point out our inability to please God in our own strength, proving that we are all sinners. But God has his answer for this seemingly hopeless situation. He has made it possible for us to be right and acceptable in his sight. But this has nothing to do with the religious law. The writing of the prophets and even the law itself pointed to the way that God would solve this dilemma. He provided the gift of righteousness. Yes, we can be made right in his eyes, free from the guilt of sin and all condemnation, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. This righteousness, this total acceptance by God, is his gift to all who believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Listen, I have made it clear that every living person, Jew or non-Jew, has sinned and has therefore fallen short of the glory God intended for mankind. The good news is this, that anyone, Jew or non-Jew, can now be made completely acceptable to God. This acceptance is a free gift from God, the work of his grace, because Jesus gave his life for us on the cross, making it possible for all our sin and failure to be forgiven. God even made his own son the perfect sacrifice that would restore us to unity with God. Only faith in the power of his blood is needed to cleanse us and make us right with God. Why should it be necessary for God to make his own son a sacrifice? Because he had to demonstrate that he is just. He could not say that our sin did not matter, even though until the cross he had not shown the full judgment our sins deserved. Sin had to be judged because it separates us from God. So his just and righteous judgment on sin had to be executed. But instead of punishing us sinners, his son bore the punishment we deserve. As you believe that Jesus did this for you personally, so you are made totally righteous and acceptable in God's sight. What have you to boast about? You did absolutely nothing to make your salvation possible. You cannot claim that you are right with God because of your perfect obedience to his commands. Your salvation is possible only by your personal faith in Jesus and what he has done for you. We teach clearly that there is no other way for a person to be saved from his or her sin and the eternal condemnation he or she deserves. Faith in Jesus is the only way of salvation, and this has nothing to do with God's law. It is clear then that he is God, not only of the Jew, but of anyone of any nation who puts his or her faith in Jesus. There is only one God, and he alone can make people acceptable in his sight, regardless of their nationality, whether they have been ritually circumcised or not. It is a matter of faith in Jesus and faith alone. Does this mean that the religious law is of no account? No, for those who are made acceptable to God and then able to fulfill his will. I would love to read Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. They are all amazing scriptures. And God wants to powerfully speak through his word again in this day. I believe I'll come to that. David, can you please welcome David to the stage? He was a student with us for a little while. It's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
I just asked David to just come and share a little bit about what has happened over these last 6 to 9 months in David's life, with what God has done through him and his parents, and what he is continually doing in the area that he is actually currently living in. So please, David, could you just tell us a little bit of your story?
Thank you. Morning. I was a second year student last year, and at Easter, I moved up to Scotland. My parents had just taken over a church in Castle Douglas, so that's basically when it says, welcome to Scotland, turn left, and we're somewhere beyond there. And with us, we were really honoured to have two other families move up with us. We moved from Hertfordshire, so there were 13 of us in all. We laid down our jobs, our lives, the church we'd been working with for years, and we just gave it all up and moved up to Scotland. And it's been absolutely amazing these last few months. The Lord revealed to us that the lost people in our town, the enemy had put a wall up around them, and the enemy had sought to keep them in and unable for the body of Christ to reach them. But the Lord gave us a promise. He said he would, with his supernatural hand, come down and strike the wall and cause a breach to come in the wall that the lost would then be able to walk through. A breach has been caused in the wall. These last month, we've seen 210 high school kids saved. God's been totally awesome with it. They're mainly 12 to 16-year-olds, there's a couple of 11-year-olds, there's a few 17-year-olds. And these aren't just hands being raised. These are kids that are leading to transformed lives. There's this, one girl whose parents banned her from going to church. They were not willing to let her step foot in a church building, but she came anyway. And that night at the youth event we had on a Friday night, she got saved. And then on the Monday morning, she's then going into the school, we then gave her some follow-up material, having read all of it, and is now going around her friends saying, I've been challenged, I need to change my lifestyle, I'm seeing this and this and this and this. And God's saying, you need to change it. That's got to stop, it's got to sort out. And she's now saying, and now I need to bring more of my friends coming, bring them to church because something awesome is happening. And she's really been like a catalyst. There are lots of kids that it's almost like this first wave from the breach, or a breach of a group of catalysts that are now causing a snowball effect in the school. I think our high school, because we're a rural town in the middle of nowhere, about a third of our school in the last month have now become born again believers, which is praise God. Yeah, and we have some friends on the Isle of Lewis at the moment. And I don't know about whether you know revival history, the village of Barvas in 1948, where the revival broke out. I've been there a few times in the last few years, and it's a remote village in the middle of nowhere. I think maybe 100, 200 people in the village. And there's a massive Church of Scotland church, which is the old revival church. So that can seat 500. And the Lord came to a man in his in a vision, and he gave him blueprints to expand the building. You can already fit the entire population of the village five times over, four times over in this church. So to have an expansion plan, you've got to know it was God. And the guy then draws up a blueprint of what needs to be done. And he died shortly after. And then there was a change of leadership occurred. And then this one deacon in the church had a dream one night, and God revealed to him that he needed to draw a blueprint for an expansion plan for the building. So he draws it up, and then on the following day, he goes to the vicar, and the vicar said, oh, that's interesting, because I've been clearing out the desk, and I found this blueprint. They put the two blueprints side by side, and they were identical blueprints. But then it was like the enemy sought to throw a spanner in the works, and then various reasons caused delays in the whole process. It got delayed a few years. But over the last few months, a real urgency had started to become building in the people for the expansion plan to start going ahead. So I think it was one of the grandkids of this vicar then is staying around at his house. And the kid, as the grandpa says, nighttime prayers, suddenly falls into a vision at 7 years old. And then he's off with the Lord for a few minutes, and it scares the vicar. And then a few minutes later, he comes about. And he said, you know, grandpa, it's been amazing, you know. God said, I've just seen Jesus, and he said, I need to repent, I need to be baptized, and there's something about an expansion plan that needs to go ahead. Just like as a little side to throw it in. And now, I think 2-3 weeks ago, the building plan was approved by the council, so it's now going to be expanded to, I think, 700, with a regional outreach centre as well as daycare and various facilities for children to go along the side. And in the natural, that looks totally random and weird. But after they agreed it, the news on the island then became they're going to grant a university status to the island. So within about 5 years, there'll be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 extra people spread across the island, which is awesome.
Thank you, David. I asked David to come because he told me those stories on Friday, and I got quite excited because I really believe that God is about to move. I think we're about to turn a corner, and God is wanting to do certain things in our lives. And over these last 9 weeks in the Bible College, God has been taking all of us on the team and on the students. And I also know that he's been taking you church members as well on a journey. And all we know is that God is faithful to his covenant promises. Amen. Amen? Yes. That what God has promised, he will fulfill. But there is something that, you know, I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and I'm in Deuteronomy at the moment. And one of the things that you read in Deuteronomy is the children of Israel, where God constantly comes and says, if you do what I ask of you, you will be blessed. Yep. If you do not do what I ask of you, then there's going to be trouble ahead. There is a song like that, isn't there? But we don't want trouble ahead, do we? We want the blessings of God to come upon us in the way that God intends. But one of the things that we have to understand is that it's got to be done God's way. That it can't be done any other way. And I was showing the students this week a DVD from the Jesus Culture. It's a movement in the States, and God is particularly challenging them to go to young people. And in the meetings with the young people, they are, in a sense, calling them to live a holy life. A life that is separated from the world and worldliness, so that they can truly be people who are going to demonstrate the power of the living God where they're living. And one of the things that came very, very strongly across, and actually has been coming across on a regular basis over these last weeks, was that God requires absolutely everything. Pastor Colin has been talking to us about that we have to die. And it's not a nice message, is it? You know, you've got to die. You've got to put yourself to death. You've got to allow God to do that in you. And then this came across saying that you've got to put everything. You've got to give God absolutely everything. Because in and of ourselves, there is nothing good. And, you know, salvation and the message of the cross is sometimes something that the church in the past has tried to water down to a certain degree. And I really believe God is challenging us to actually bring the whole gospel message, and especially in this Christmas season, that we have to understand that it is only the gospel message that is going to enable life in people's situations and circumstances. We have the Christmas tree. We've got the Christmas season coming up. We have the wonder, the service of wonder on the 18th of December. But it will be more wonderful if we see people's lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't want this place filled with believers. We want people to be in here who do not know God, the God of wonder. Because we want to introduce the God of wonder. But you see, what we have to understand is that it's not just a hand raised. And one of the things that I liked about David's testimony about the school children is the headmaster of that school has said that the behavior has gone down, the results have gone up, and they've invited the church to come in because they're saying whatever is taking place in these young people's lives, it's working because things are changing in that school. That's why we know it's real. Because when Jesus touches somebody's life in a real way, where they give God everything, God then can take over and bring that transformation in the way that we choose and where we want and we be prayerful. Because we're praying for a move of God, aren't we? Because that is the call that God has placed on Pastor Clive. Revival for a generation. Turning the tide of a godless society. But we need to do it God's way. And God's way is that it's purely Him. It's all the Holy Spirit working in us. And it's not something that we can sort of say, okay, it's what I can do. It's what He can do through us. That's why He requires everything, even the good things that we've done. Absolutely, all the good things as well. Sometimes we know, oh, I fed the poor, or I go and work in a charity shop, or, you know, oh, I help my neighbor. God says, no, I want everything. God wants absolutely everything from us at this time. In Luke chapter 14, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 14. And this is something that, you know, we read very quickly, normally. Verse 25 of Luke 14. Turning to the crowds that followed him, Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me but does not hate the very idea of placing his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, and even himself above his love for me, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever is not prepared to carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Would any of you decide to build a tower without first considering what it would cost to do so, thus ensuring he can afford to complete the task? Otherwise, he might lay the foundation but be unable to finish the work. All those who saw this would laugh at him, saying, 'What he begun, he couldn't finish.' Or what king would go to war against another king without calculating if he was able with his 10,000 men to conquer the one with 20,000? If he was unable to do so, he would send a delegation to make peace instead. So in the same way, anyone who holds on to what he has for himself cannot be my disciple. Salt is good unless it loses its taste. Then it is useless. For how can you restore its taste? It is fit for nothing and may as well be thrown away. If you have any spiritual understanding, then listen carefully to what I am saying. See, God wants to be first. There's a parable that Jesus taught, wasn't there, in Matthew's gospel, regarding the treasure, the jewel. And that this man found a jewel, and then he went away and sold everything that he had because he wanted to purchase that jewel. You, as well as I know, for most of you, Jesus is that jewel. Jesus is that treasure, and we need to be pursuing Jesus with everything that we have. Every ounce of our energy, every ounce of our strength. We've given God absolutely everything in our lives. He wants to then give his life, and his life is that jewel. When we focus upon Jesus, and Jesus is our focus in every way, then things happen and change. Because ultimately, you know, I know that in my own self, in my own life, I love to a natural love, to a natural level. God is wanting me to love in a supernatural way. Not just my wife, not just my children, but God wants me to love supernaturally, and I only can do that if it's his love. His love working in me. So therefore, I've got to give my everything to God, including my level of love, so that his love can impact my life, so therefore it can impact your lives. So same with, you know, my money. God says that, you know, he wants not just a tenth, he wants it all. Because I think that's everything, isn't it? You know, if you get £1,000 a week and you give God 100, that's a tenth. But God is actually saying, no, I want everything, and everything means £1,000. Is that right? I'm not wrong there. My maths is actually up to scratch. £1,000, if I get £1,000 in my wage, then God's requiring £1,000. Now, he then decides, if I give him everything, then it's up to him to then let me know what he wants to do with the rest. Because then I am going to be a good steward of what he gives to me. You see, we have sometimes an issue with giving God even a tenth of our income. God's not asking for a tenth. He wants it all. And then he wants to then release what he intends into our lives, into our situations. Because ultimately, we know that if we do it God's way, just like the children of Israel in the Old Testament, when they do it God's way, they are blessed. They are fruitful. They increase. They multiply. And the vessels are overflowing with the good and bountiful gifts of the land. That's what God was doing in the Old Testament. And God is wanting to do exactly the same today. But we have to make sure that we give God everything so that his life can work through us in absolutely everything, in every way. That's why we can't be people of compromise. That's why we can't be playing with the world. That's why we've got to ensure that when we give God everything, we allow his life to impact our lives in a far, far greater way than we're currently seeing. Because if we were seeing what we are meant to be seeing, according to what God has promised, then we would be seeing it today. Amen. So therefore, there's something that God is wanting to do in my life so that he then begins to consume me in a greater way than I've ever known before. Because I know that I want to be a person who embraces everything that God has, not just for me, but as part of this church, as part of Kingdom Faith, that what God has promised us here. Revival for a generation, turning the tide of the godless society is not something we can do, but it's something that God wants to do. He really wants to do it. But it does require us to recognize that in and of ourselves, we won't be able to achieve that. God wants to move in each one of our lives so that Jesus is that jewel that we're going for. You know, there's sometimes when we say, if we give God everything, what does that leave? Actually, that's the best place to be. If we surrender our life to Him, God says, finally. Finally, I've got them to that point where they give up. See, sometimes we are the people that are trying to achieve something in our own strength, in our own ability. But you see, God, when we are consumed by Him, it's like He takes over our life, and He, by His Holy Spirit, then can take us from step to step, learning to walk in truth. There's a great scripture in Luke chapter 11. If you quickly want to turn there. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No one turns a lamp on and then hides it where its light cannot be seen. Instead, he puts it in a prominent place to give light to anyone who enters the room. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your sight is good, the whole body is full of light. But when you look at what is evil, your body is full of darkness. Be careful, therefore, and ensure that you are filled with the light, not darkness. For if you are full of light, there is no room for spiritual darkness. And you will then live in the full radiance of that light that shines on you. I want each and every one of you to live in that full radiance of that light that shines upon you. I really do. Because I know that that is the place where God can release His blessing, not into your own lives, but also those around you that you affect on a day-to-day basis. God is wanting to change the way we think, because even the time off, I was challenging the students this week, because many of them, obviously, this is their last Sunday for a little while, because they are all going back to their homes for a few weeks. But I've heard the comment from quite a number of students saying, oh, it's great because we got 3 weeks off. And I just said to them, I sort of said, okay, if you gave God everything, then whose 3 weeks are they? Whose 3 weeks are they? Are they yours or are they God's? And they were conscious and they understood that actually time is God's. And so therefore, sometimes when we sort of say, oh, it's great that I've got my own time now. If you've given God everything, I'm not sure about that. If you've given God everything, surely that's time as well. Yep. So time is not our own. Yep. Money is not our own. It's God's. Yep. Relationships. Again, if we do what God wants and allow His love to impact our lives, then relationships belong to Him. Yep. And therefore, we need to make sure that we are in the right relationship, doing what God's asking us to do in those relationships, so that there is all light and no darkness, that there's a purity in our relationships, not an impurity. Because if we give God everything, we've got to give Him our relationships too. And our relationships mean husband and wife relationships. Father, daughter, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son relationships. If God wants everything, God wants those things too. Not because He wants to keep them a distant, it's because He wants to bring them closer into a supernatural love that He alone can give, not our human love. Sometimes our human love can be good, but there's a better way. There's a better way. In the revival in Indonesia in the 60s, one of the things that they were seeing lives change. They saw lives impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that they said is that we see so many wonderful things. We see so many blessings that God is pouring out upon us. But then they said, but there's a greater blessing. There's a greater blessing that they wanted to see. And so they began to start to pray for that greater blessing. And I believe that God is just sort of saying, look, there's so many great things that God is doing. And especially as we've gone through the covenant before God and before one another over these last weeks. And God has done tremendous things where he's broken some of the barriers. There's forgiveness and there's a real serving, belonging to one another, etc., etc. But I want to see revival for a generation. I want to see the turning the tide of the godless society. And I know that the only way that I'm going to be able to see that is that if I give God absolutely everything of my life, that I lay my life on that altar so that it's God's life that lives through me, so that my love for you guys is supernatural, not natural. My love for Helena will be supernatural, not natural. My love for my children will be supernatural, not natural. Because that's what God wants to do through me. And therefore, if God wants that to do that through me, God wants to do that through each one of us too, so that everything belongs to God, including our close relationships. That's what we were reading in Luke chapter 14. That we need to make sure that Jesus Christ is first. And if Jesus is first, then it's his life that is going to be working through us in great ways. I mean, in Philippians chapter 3, quickly want to turn there. This is what Paul says about this, about giving everything to God. Philippians chapter 3. Got to find it myself. Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 3. I used to think, verse 7, I used to think all these things were to my credit, and yet now I have Christ, I realize I gain nothing from them. So I now regard those things as worthless compared to the privilege of all, of knowing Christ as my Lord. For his sake I left everything of the past behind and considered the things rubbish, so that I could have Christ and live in him. Seeking my own righteousness through obeying the law was futile when compared to the righteousness I now have through faith in Christ. This is the true righteousness that comes as a gift from God and can only be received through faith in Christ. I want to know Christ and his resurrection power. I am prepared to be at one with him by sharing in his sufferings. Like him, I'm ready to die for the truth, and then somehow by his power be raised from the dead. And then it goes on to aiming for the prize, not giving up, persevering. But you see, Paul understood that Jesus was the thing that if we pursue him with every ounce of our being, then life will be worth living because his life is fullness of life. But we have to understand, and that's why I read the passage in Romans chapter 3, because, and I would love to read 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, but you understand that what God has done is a covenant relationship that he wants with us. That he knows that the only way to this life is through the cross of Jesus Christ. And even though many of you here are already believers, many of you have been baptized, still the only way to come to Jesus is through the blood of Jesus Christ, Amen. That cross. And we need to understand that that's why I believe in the Acts of the Apostles, it talked about communion, that they took communion every single day. Why? Because they wanted to keep Jesus center of absolutely everything in their lives. Because they knew that if Christ was the center, then the life of the Spirit of the living God can be working through us every single moment of the day. And therefore, we will have the supernatural things that will be going on around us all of the time. Yeah. How many of you want to see more supernatural things? Yeah. Then give God more things. Amen. Give God everything. Yeah. Yeah. Bring yourself to that point where you say, God, I give up. All of us, I think, want to see more of the supernatural things. They want to see the signs and wonders. We want to and longing to see more people saved, aren't we? We're wanting to see greater love between us. Then we have to give up our natural ways. We have to give God absolutely everything so that his life can then be at work in us so that he then can do what he chooses to do. He has promised Kingdom Faith so many things through Pastor Colin, and now through Pastor Clive, and the leadership team too are coming with to confirm the things that Pastor Clive in particular is hearing and perceiving that is right for us as a people here. God has so many promises over your own lives too. But in and of yourself, you cannot do that. And you will never be able to achieve these promises. But as a surrendered life, as a surrendered person before God, as a surrendered people, we will then begin to see what God wants us to see. I want to see every single chair filled in this place. I do. I want to see people every single Sunday coming to the point where they say yes to Jesus. Yes, because they understand that they have to give up everything. But when they give up everything and they come to Jesus, Jesus then gives his life in return. That doesn't mean that all the problems go away like we all know. But then we have somebody, the Holy Spirit living in us, who can then direct the course of our life. So that we do not turn from the left or right, but we can go in the way that God wants. That we will make sure that what comes through our eyes, what comes through our ears, are things that are holy and pleasing to God. So that in our life we remain clean, we remain pure, we remain holy. Create in me a clean heart, O God. That right spirit within me was what David said. And I believe that that's exactly what God is wanting to do with all of our lives at this time. Because God is even wanting to do something in these next 3-4 weeks that is a wonder. Do you believe that? That God wants to do something over these next 3 Sundays before, is it 3? Two Sundays time, 18th. That God wants to do so many things in people's lives on that Sunday and subsequently before then as well. Where we come to that place where God, I really truly want to give you absolutely everything in my life. And then his light shines through me. His light shines through me, and people who are in darkness see that light. It's not me. It's his life in me that can make the difference in them. But I've got to come to that point where, God, I surrender absolutely everything to you. And again, renew that covenant with him. Renewing that covenant that he, on that cross, as we read in Romans chapter 3, what he did for us on that cross, recognizing the blood of Jesus Christ, recognizing death, but then resurrection. And now his resurrection life lives in you. And therefore, in you, there is fullness of life. Yeah? That's the gospel, isn't it, of Jesus Christ? But we need to make sure that we surrender absolutely everything, the good things as well as the bad things. Yeah. Those areas of weakness in our lives, as well as some of the good things that we do. Yeah. Because God wants to transform our lives. God wants to transform our church into a revival church where he takes over, where he truly takes over. And, you know, it's great to hear what God was doing in our school, where 200-300 children, teenagers, are beginning to get stirred because God has come into that school. And I want to see God invade different places, your workplaces. I want to see God invade your schools. I want to see God invade your streets. I believe God wants to do those things, but it's got to be God's way. It has to be God's way. There's no other way that's going to work. It's all be very little fruit. No fruit. If it doesn't come from the source, if it doesn't come from the Creator, then it's worthless anyway, isn't it?
That's right.
So we want to see, we want to become a people who say, God, you have my everything. Yes. I want to come and die. And that's what obviously baptism signifies. Yes. But sometimes we take things back, don't we? Yes. That we forget what Jesus Christ has actually done for us. And therefore, sometimes God just has to remind us to come again and say, God, you have my everything. You have my all. I want to walk in your light. I want to walk in your truth. I want to walk in your way. So that in everything, I know that you are being glorified in what I say and what I do. If you could please stand. Thank you, Jesus. This is something that I can't pray for you. But you need to respond to God at this moment in a very simple way. Just say, God, I do surrender all. And some of those things, are, you know, you'll have to do some business with God. And just like that parable of that that man who sold absolutely everything to get possession of that prize. I believe God is going to require some of us because it's going to cost. Some of that cost is going to be time on our knees before God, allowing him to do what he chooses as we continue to surrender our life to him. Some of you, it will be that those covenant relationships, those covenant things that we've talked about, that there are still things that you need to put right. And again, you need to come and say, God, I do want to surrender all. And that includes this. Some of you might be putting relationships above God. And again, you need to come and say, God, I give you everything. Some of you, it may be money. That you've been keeping a lot of money to yourself because of it's a rainy day. And God sort of say, no, when you do it my way, you will be truly blessed. Because that is my covenant promise to you. For some, it may be an illness or a sickness in your own body that you've put on a pedestal that you've been putting that in front of God and you've not continued to realize the sovereignty of God over sickness. On that cross, he took absolutely everything, including your sickness. And sometimes we can raise things above what God has done. And so God, when he says everything, he means everything. Some of you, it will be fear that you have placed a fear. Lord, if you give everything of my life, then I'm afraid. God wants to take that fear because fear is part of everything, because his perfect love wants to cast out the fear of your life. Those insecurities, God wants those things too because they are part of everything. Because in Christ, he wants to give you that peace. He wants to pour that understanding into your heart and life so that there is no insecurity in your life whatsoever because it's his life that is working in and through you. So everything is everything. So you need to talk to God in your own way. I know some of you are already doing that. Some of you, it just really is a fresh surrender to him. For some, it's an area of weakness in your own heart and life where you continue to return to something that you know does not please God. And God wants to come to that place where He is absolutely everything in your life. Jesus. Jesus. Just talk to Him. Just talk to Him. If you've never talked to God before, this may be your very first time here and you've never talked to God, you don't have a relationship with God, then He is there wanting you just to talk to Him. He's waiting. And you can just pray a simple prayer at this time and then other people will come and talk to you. Because in and of yourself, there is nothing good. God calls the life apart from Him. It means that we are walking in darkness. We're not walking in light. We're not walking in truth. God doesn't want anybody to remain in that place. God wants to bring people into a relationship with Him, but there is only one way of doing that. That is recognizing that you are a sinner, that you have done things wrong, that you recognize those mistakes. And then you come to an understanding that God wants to, and God has already, upon Himself on the cross, that He died for all mankind. That He's taken everything upon Himself. All your sin, all your wrongdoing, He has placed upon Himself. And when you recognize that fact and you are truly sorry for the things that you have done to put Jesus on that place, on that cross, will you truly come into that place where God, please forgive me for all of the things that I've done wrong, and you'll have a time where you'll name those things. Because God doesn't want you to move forward with that old life. God wants to give you a new life that is in Jesus Christ. But there is only one way of doing that, and that's recognizing our need of Him. If that's you this morning, I want you to come out to the front at the end, and there will be a group of people who want to talk and want to work through what this means for you. But there's others of you that are not walking with God in the way that you know that He wants at this time. And again, you need to recognize once again the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. That it's no longer a time to play around, to mess around with darkness. But it is time where God is calling each and every one of us to walk in the light, to walk in the truth, to walk in the covenant that He has for each one of us, with Him and with one another. Make sure, before you leave this building this morning, that you make sure that you put your life right back in His hands by giving Him absolutely everything. I surrender all to You, Lord. Father, I just thank You for the truth of Your word. I thank You that You are truly wanting us to be a people who live in the good of who You are, live in that place where You can do whatever You choose, where Your Holy Spirit is directing the course of our lives, that we're sensitive to the voice. Where, Lord, you tell us to go and do this, we go and do it because we're listening to you. Father, Lord, I just ask you that you will do that in my own heart and life. That you will do whatever it takes, Father, Lord, to come and, Father, Lord, take over. So that in my life, you receive all the glory in every single way. That there is nothing, Father, Lord, that I do in on myself, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in me. Father, Lord, that you will work out your plan, your purpose for my life. Lord, I ask you that every single person here, or Lord, every person who listens to this tape, Father, Lord, that they too will come to that place where they will acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, that they will be prepared to pay whatever it takes to pursue you, that you are that pearl of the greatest price. And no matter what it takes, no matter what the cost, no matter how long we spend, oh Lord, meeting with you, encountering you, listening to you in the word. Father, Lord, that we will do whatever it takes to be the people that you want us to be. Father, we understand that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. It's not about works. And Lord, it's not about the amount of time we spend on our knees. But Father, it's amount of time where we are prepared to do what you're asking of us. Oh God, just do that amongst us, that we will truly be your covenant people, doing as you instruct us, as you initiate things. Father, Lord, that we will be quick to respond. Lord, that each and every one of us will have ears that will hear. Father, each and every one of us will have eyes to see. And Lord, that those eyes will be taking in light, not darkness. Those ears will be hearing things that are building up, not discouraging. Father, Lord, that you truly have your church. Oh, Lord, and you can do with your church whatever you desire. Lord, bring us to that point of submission to your Holy Spirit. Individually, but also corporately. Because we want to see people's lives impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see people healed and set free. And Lord, when people come into your order, when you take over our lives, Father, I thank you that sicknesses and diseases will flee. Father, Lord, cancers will be broken in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, poverty mindsets will be broken because, Father, there will be a greater understanding, oh, Lord, that you are the provider in every single way. Father, Lord, it's giving over everything to you. And, Father, I thank you that that is the safest place to be. It's the most secure place to be. And, Lord, I just ask you that each and every one of us, oh, Lord, will be responding to you in the way that you are requiring this time. Oh Lord, we want you to come in your light so that darkness flees from this place. That nothing, absolutely nothing can remain hidden. Father, Lord, that everything will become into your glorious light. Move amongst us, oh God. Move amongst us, oh Father. In whatever way you desire. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you that each and every one of us will cooperate with you. That we will do what you ask of us. In Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.